He called this the most important first quarter of the season in this game coming up against
Jacksonville. Okay, well, we've only had one so far, so I mean, I got to figure this out. The most important first quarter of the season. Yeah, I'm going to have to say this. And you know what?
You know what?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the most important second quarter, too.
Stop using analytics.
Until next week.
Can't have analytics in here. We don't have it.
Why is this the most important? Is it just the season or like in a while?
So his fear that he had with it is that if Watson continues to look bad, you could lose the locker room. And that's the thought that's coming with it.
Deshaun loses the locker room.
Or Stefanski would lose the locker room. Because the guys in that, and this is Lombardi's thoughts.
Okay.
And I'm paraphrasing for Michael Lombardi. Of course, you want to hear the whole thing. It's on the Bill Simmons podcast, today's episode. His thought is they would look at Stefanski and they would go, why do you have somebody on the field who is not helping us win when there is somebody sitting right here who could help us win?
And that has been the history of the number two quarterback in every NFL city for every NFL town since the game started.
That is correct, except for the ones that have quarterbacks who are succeeding.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, if your number one quarterback isn't succeeding, you're like, again, it's one of the best jobs in the business, backup quarterback.
Nobody in Kansas City is going, why are we not playing Carson Wentz? Nobody is saying
that. Oh, you mean Chad Henne's not there anymore?
No, sadly he moved on.
Oh, he did. I didn't realize that. Yeah. I'm still stuck from the fact that we were, 3 yards away from winning that game, and who knows where this franchise would be. So, again, so he's saying, I don't know, that just, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, look, it's a good thing this week's game isn't at home. Because if Deshaun comes out flat this week at home, the Boo Birds would have been out in full force.
I mean, heck, they were out last week.
Let me just say this. If they come,
they were out last week.
They didn't play well. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with guys and gals.
Miles Garrett said it best at the tail end of the show, which is, hey, in his press conference, he goes, hey, man, you pay good money to watch a product that's successful. And if it's not successful, you're allowed to voice your opinions.
Mm.
Like, hey, yeah, agreed.
I'm just still trying to get a vibe. Like, do fans want Jameis to start this week?
Are we already here?
It was a bad game last week. You've got a really bad look situation on your starting quarterback right now. What do fans want? We've already had two or three phone calls this morning saying, look, I've given up on this. I'm done. I don't want to see this anymore.
You got to give
it. We got a guy who wants to cut him and not care about the repercussions of cap problems and not being able to pay the players on the field.
You got to give it more leash than two games. You just have to. A, the investment you made, and B, just the general fairness that comes to quarterbacks and football players as well.
I'm going to take a phone call from Chuck. You're going to listen to this question I'm going to say to you too.
Okay.
You got a starting pitcher who's out there who is just throwing balls over the plate, giving up home run after home run after home run. Are you going to leave him in there because you're paying him too much? Don't answer. Chuck. Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. When you just reminisced a minute ago about the quarterback taking us to the playoffs and then writing, hey, Cleveland doesn't want us, and he was gone, I assume you were talking about Flacco. And
No, I was talking about Baker Mayfield. What are you talking about?
Well, then the same would apply to Flacco. And whenever we've had negative drama here with the Browns, we go nowhere. And that goes back 55 years, we've gone nowhere. You had a positive chance last season with Flacco, we let him go. Then the number two chant I heard in the stands when I was sitting there Sunday after the Boo Birds was, we want Flacco back. So Haslam should own this. They let another positive situation get away from us. Flacco's a winner. Trade Watson to Indy and get Flacco back. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
One, you can't trade Deshaun Watson because the same exact cap ramifications would take place. Two, Joe Flacco was never going to come back. You caught lightning in a bottle.
No, I don't know. Joe Flacco would have come back. What do you mean he wouldn't have? You're saying from the Browns standpoint or from his standpoint?
From the Browns standpoint.
He said he wanted to come back.
He wanted to come back. He didn't lie about that fact. Yeah, and I'm sure all of us would have enjoyed it, but that was lightning in a bottle. That wasn't going to happen a second time. If you brought him back this season, it would have been a mess. The interceptions were out of control. I mean, they flat out said their whole offense was basically, buddy, we're going to run some big old bootlegs for you, and you are going to bomb the hell out of it. And if you throw a pick, our defense is good enough to not worry about it. And guess what? That worked until you found your way into the playoffs. So you're not going to do that again. Those picks are going to go higher, and the touchdowns are going to go lower. That's how that stuff goes. It wasn't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. They leaned into it because it was the best version of a crappy situation.
Yeah, but if I would have told you before Flacco got here, and I'm not making the argument here, like I want Watson to work out so we can shut up about this next week. I want Watson to have a great game on Sunday, and I want the page to be turned. I want the book to be thrown out the window. Okay? I'm ready. There's so much invested in this. Please work this week. Please, I'm just begging you, make this work. Football gods, I'm begging you. Please make Deshaun Watson work. And everyone will wake up on Monday and be happy about it. But we didn't see that last week, and we haven't seen a whole lot of it since they brought him in. So that's why everybody feels the way they do. I get it. I understand it. But you can sit here. I can make the same argument that you just made about how Flacco wouldn't have worked this year. For the argument we made when he came in the first place. Joe Flacco's not going to work. He hasn't been playing. He's been sitting on the couch. Look at what he did before. He was a fail. How many times were he failed at the last gig he had? What was he with the Jets before? That didn't work.
He had a cup of coffee with the Broncos too, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And so that didn't work. And so there's no way Joe Flacco is going to be able to come in here and take us to the playoffs. There's no way Joe Flacco is going to be able to rattle off even one 300-yard game. But yet he did. It's a crazy game. Don't know what's going to happen next. And I can't say with absolute positivity that it would be the epic failure that you said. Fans liked watching him last year.
Well, yeah, it was fun when you came off of a broken offense with P.J. Walker and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I mean, go back and watch those games. Those offenses were repugnant. Like, they were horrid to watch those offenses with PJ Walker and DTR. When Joe Flacco came in, man, whoo-hoo, that was high city living. That's like going from having to, you know what, never mind, that's going to get me fired if I go down that road. You moved on up on that one, put it that way. And Joe Flacco, and I'm thankful for everything that he did, and it's a wonderful story. And I will thank him forever for making the tail end of that season as fun as he made it. It's just, boy, if you're going to schedule that out for 17 games, you are asking for problems.
Who do you really want to start on Sunday? Josh is in a car. Hi, Josh.
How are you, Josh?
Hey, guys. Great show today.
Thanks, man.
I got an opinion, and then I got a question I want to pose you guys if you got the time.
Oh, but we got time for you. Anything for you, Josh.
Thanks, Andy. Well,
let's not go that far. I don't have any money for you tomorrow.
No, anything, any money he's got to give you, anything from him.
I'd have like $2.
So the opinion is Watson's going to start no matter what, unless this legal situation gets really messy.
True.
You're not going to see anybody starting no matter how bad he gets.
Unless he gets hurt. Right. He'd have to get hurt. That's the only other way. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, or hurt, correct. Yeah. But Nick's right. They're going to have to give him the whole season to see what it is, and we're going to be in financial purgatory for the next 4 to 5 years. It is what it is.
It feels that way.
And then the other thing I want to bring up, nobody's really talking about, if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine, but do you really think that if, because I keep hearing, you know, I'm on like, you know, Twitter or X a lot with the stuff, you know, Browns super fan, mm-hmm. and people are just beating up on the Browns all the time, like, yeah, you know, you guys made this decision. I really don't think that Jimmy Haslam would have made the decision if he had the information that it was this bad. So when the Texans, we found out the Texans facilitated all this, and it's now a lot worse than it was. I mean, we made the deal. It is what it is. But I don't understand how the Browns get such a black mark when the Texans facilitated everything, and this all happened when he was a Houston Texan. How are we the bad guys? I still understand that.
So how are the Browns back? Okay, so that's an interesting question because we knew when he was coming in that he was going to get suspended.
Yeah,
we knew we were going to eat
all of this stuff
part of the penalty.
There. So he sat that whole season to get a contract extension, and because of these allegations, all of the 21 season. Right, I got that right. Yeah, that's a time.
And so the Browns end up looking like the bad guy because
they handed him the big monster.
So the rest of the league was upset about the guaranteed money. We all know that. And so, and now we're, I think as fans, we're making our team the bad guy because we are just on the edge of saying this might be one of the worst trades, if not the worst trade in the history of the NFL.
I just find it interesting because all the stuff that was took place was when he was with the Texans, and it was most of it was facilitated by the Houston Texans. And I heard, oh, yeah, the Texans deserve to be so good because they made the right call, and they cut Watson. They never cut Watson.
They benched him for an entire season.
They sent him home with pay.
Yeah. Which sounds like you might be on the verge of here. No, you're right. Well, they didn't. No, you're right.
They did not cut him. He was not cut.
Right. It's just a big misconception. I get it. I'm not proud of it.
It's almost like the Browns paid for the rights to take all the heat on the situation.
Exactly.
That's what it feels like.
Well said.
Josh, have a good day, man.
I love the Browns. I'm going to keep rooting for them, but I see it's pretty scary. I see a huge section of fans. You're going to see it. They're just not even being involved anymore. Started a couple years ago. They're not even involved now. So we're losing a huge section of Browns fans probably the next 2 to 4 years while this just blows over. And it's going to stink because Miles is getting old. We've got a lot of good guys that are getting old. I really hope he turns it around, but he really looks like a mess up in his personal life. And it's sad. I wish him the best. I don't wish him ill will, but he's a big mess up. He just can't seem to control and manage his life, and his past is really coming back to get him.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there was an option to settle this before it ever hit the press. At least that's what it sounds like.
It's what it sounds like. I have no idea. It's all just a massive mess. It is a gargantuan mess, and the Browns are stuck in it, and they signed up for it, and the biggest bummer involved in all of it is that we're smack dab in the middle.
Yep.
Is that the fan base is the ones who are sitting looking at each other from the beginning when they brought him in, when the fan base fractured like you wouldn't believe, yelling at each other constantly, to where we are now where we're still all yelling at each other.
All right, let's come back. Let's talk a little baseball when we get back. Ready? We want to talk a little bit. I mean, it is Friday, right? We played that good music before. We're trying to get you hyped up. Yes, the Browns play on Sunday, but let's talk about the Guardians because they've got the rest of this big series against Tampa, and then we know who's coming in next week. And we also know who's coming up at noon. That's Brian Anderson. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.